What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Mr. Money TV live on Thursday night. And welcome to those of you guys who are listening on podcast as well. This is Peter.
Yo, what's up, everyone? Nice to see you guys again. Frankie here.
All right. Firstly, I think the first thing that I want to say is congratulations, Frankie, for FAQ show hitting 10,000.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Thanks for your support. Yeah. Fuck show finally reached 10,000.
Yeah. For those of you guys who have not followed the FAQ show yet, yeah, the fuck show, as we like to call it, yeah, please go and follow the FAQ show. I think sooner or later, we should actually have a separate podcast already, right?
Yeah. We should.
Yeah. We should have that. Yeah. Then we can talk about things that each of us like, have our own unique positioning as well. That would be really, really fun. If you guys would like to have that, right? Please write 2 in the comment for us. So at the same time, we also have a sound check knowing that it's loud and clear. And those of you guys who are listening via a podcast, if you think that it is cool to actually separate another podcast that maybe focusing a lot more on stocks, focusing a lot more on market movements, a lot more on the Frankie style of things, right?
Frankie style of things. Very heavy.
And then just point straight to it kind of stuff, right? Yeah, you guys can also leave us a comment, whether is it in our chat here, yeah, or whether is it in the podcast there.
Or you can also DM us on Instagram and all the social media platform. Yeah,
that's right.
We can read those messages as well.
That's right. And for me personally, you know me, I like to cover a broad range of topics, right? Yeah, not just stocks. I like to talk about entrepreneurship. I like to talk about crypto. I like to talk about basically everything. Yeah, I just, actually, if I have a choice, right? I would like to talk about personal growth. That is pretty much the kind of things, right?
But adulting kind of topics.
Yeah. Adulting kind of topics. Yeah. Adulting is something that I really think is very important, you know? Yeah, I think talking about that subject, before we go into talking about investment in 2024, I think that is a very important investment to have in life, actually.
That is investing in your life.
Yeah.
Adulting, yeah.
Actually, if you actually think about it, right? Whether is it in living life or whether is it learning to invest, having a mentor is truly one of the ways that helps you to cut short a lot of heartaches and help you learn faster. Don't you think so?
Yeah, of course. Then people have already gone through the path before and then they tell, hey, this one is a trap, you don't go there. Then you learn from it already. You don't need to go and experience yourself and take those unnecessary risks, right?
That's right. Yeah. Having said that as well, someone actually mentioned that he loves your Jalil Rashid. Suriya Dylan Gunnison said, I love your Rashid Jalil podcast. And I'm a fan of FAQ too.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Tonight, I have one more video. It's going to be a very interesting topic as well. So stay tuned. I think it will come out at around 9 o'clock tonight.
Yes. And another one more is that Value Tips actually asked, so you guys will be doing podcasts separately. I think maybe not so much separately, but maybe
extra
podcasts,
yeah,
right?
Extra instead of separate.
Yeah. I think that'll be really fun. Now, I also put up a poll out there in terms of when it comes to your preferred investment tool in 2024. And what we can see is that currently 77% of our audience thinks that stocks will be their preferred investment tool. Yeah. And the second one that comes in is actually going to be property, which is 13%. And then crypto at 9%.
Yeah, maybe that's a sign that the property market in 2024 will do better in Malaysia.
Apparently, the other day there was a survey that was done. It was said that property prices are going to increase by about 9% next year, even including rental prices are going to increase by about 9%.
Simply because of inflation or are there other reasons?
I think so, man. I think with inflation and higher interest rate, many property owners also cannot tahan and starting to raise rent. Yeah, that's probably the case. Yeah, so with all these added together, you know, everything is added up to the cost, then how's it going to be? And naturally, since our topic today is going to be about investing in 2024, I think we can't run away from these few topics.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. All the avenues that you can find money, that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
That's right. So, Frankie, let's begin tonight's topic by talking about 2024. We understand that last week you talked about the outlook of the market, right? Maybe you want to give them a summary once again of what are your thoughts on the market in 2024.
Right, but before we go into that, do you want to do the announcement first? The big one?
That topic
is even more important than what we're going to talk about later tonight.
Okay. Yes. So, for those of you who don't know, we just saw from the news 2 hours ago, three, four hours ago, probably by now, that big.io,
Which was Cake Defy.
Which that, was
that
Cake
we
Defy.
Used to talk about 2 years ago.
Yes. Yeah. What happened is one of the co-founder actually filed to wind up the company. And suddenly it just caused, boom, crazy amount of news, man. Mm. Yeah. And just within 2 hours, it picked up. And then I think the price of the DFI plummeted.
More than 10%.
Yeah. Also started going down.
Correct.
I mean, 10% actually wasn't as crazy as I thought. It's like quite, okay.
You thought it should go down like half, right? 50%,
yeah, yeah. But having said that, I think a lot of people saw it coming.
Mm.
Yeah.
You were one of them.
I did say that something is just a little bit off, right?
Right.
So we kind of stopped talking about them for like close to 2 years by now.
Close to 2 years already.
Close to 2 years by now.
No, but the thing is that if you look at Big, which was kicked before, right? If you look at their balance sheet, it's actually very strong. They have very little liability and their assets is very strong. And
That's right.
And they have a runway of years. Yeah. You are not talking about 1 or 2 years. You're talking about many, many years.
Correct.
So the reason for winding up is... I think it's a little bit emotional in that sense. Yeah, you have been following the story. So
yes. So what happened is that as I was digging through the story and I called up some people as well to actually ask. So they say what happened was basically there's an argument. There's an argument between the founders. And
so there are two co-founders. Yes. One is Julian Hobbs and the other one is a Malaysian named Yuzin.
Yuzin Chua or something like that. So both of them actually had an argument. And Yuzin actually, according to sources, Yuzin actually said that he felt that he's left out from the loop of the decision of the company. And so therefore, they can see that like a lot more arguments are coming in and suddenly he just went and filed for winding up. So what this means, it's not bankruptcy, you know. It's just this guy go to the company registration there and say, I want to close this company. I want to stop this company from operating.
Hmm.
But I'm the co-founder. So what happened is that imagine me and Frankie today, we are in this business.
Mm.
Me and Frankie are not very happy with each other and suddenly...
I go and say, okay, I go SSM and just close this company now.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what's happening. Yeah. It has nothing on the surface. It doesn't look like it has anything to do with money.
All right.
Immediately, Julian Hobbs and the team, they actually showed their balance sheet to the media or something like that.
Mm.
And said, look, we actually have money.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with financial issue. Yeah, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like if OpenAI had this issue and OpenAI was listed on the stock market, then...
Correct.
Yeah.
So this situation is very weird because if you want to come to a decision to wind up a company, right? Technically speaking, you need to get an approval from your board of directors and then you need majority approval. Then only you go to the registration there to wind up the company. So by Yuzin going there himself to file for a wind up, I'm not sure whether the authorities will entertain him or not.
Correct. Yeah. So then here's the question, right? But still it's quite powerful, like pulling this move and leaking it. I mean, whether is it he leaking it or media actually just picked it up.
Mm.
It is quite crazy. It is quite crazy. It's like,
anything can happen, man, in today's world.
So it's like, but nonetheless, I'm just happy that for me, most of my assets are actually in BTC. Yeah. I have only a very negligible amount.
Yeah.
I do have my BTC on their platform. Yeah. But because of what happened just now, I actually transfer everything out of their platform itself.
Yeah. So for me, part of my stock investment portfolio is in DeFi chain. So because of this news, I also took all the money out from DeFi chain.
It's okay to lose money, man. I mean, this kind of thing, it's kind of like, reminds me of CMSB. Remember that time?
Mm.
Yeah, everything
CMSB,
was perfect.
Server dynamic, you know?
Yeah, until management issue.
Correct.
So it's like, what on earth, man? Management issue. looks like even crypto cannot run away from management issue, lah. Huh?
Yeah.
Especially more centralized one like this one. Okay. Nonetheless, be very careful about what are you investing in. I guess the longer that I'm in this scene, the more I am just I become more careful with my decision and trust the OGs. A bit more. No, nonetheless, let's go into the topic of investing for 2024 and talk about the market outlook.
What was your question just now?
Yeah, so Well, maybe you want to summarize a little bit about your market outlook for 2024 once again for those who missed out last week's episode.
Okay, right. So just to give you guys a very quick summary, right? All the economic data are pointing towards a very, very bad situation. But the weird thing is that all the asset classes are going up. Stocks are going up, bonds are going up, property prices are going up because of inflation and all that. So things are not according to your textbook economic knowledge, right? The textbook says when economy is bad, your asset prices will come down. But in today's situation, the economic situation is bad and it's going to be worse, but stocks are record high, bonds are doing very well and things like that. So, but then in last week's session, I also mentioned that because now it's so high and to invest in that kind of environment becomes even more risky in 2024 because we are starting to see larger cracks in the economy today. Right. Number one, the US consumer debt is so high. I forgot how many trillion already. Sorry, I forgot. So consumer debt is very high. The country debt is also very high. That one I remember, $33 trillion. Right. You're just talking about 5% interest on the $33 trillion. Just go and calculate yourself how much the US government needs to pay just on the interest itself. Right. So US dollar, US economy is going to be in a very jittery situation. Then the rest of the world is also not doing very well as well, right? China has their own problem. Their property got property market is doing bad. And then the rest of the places, Middle East, got the war going on, the conflict with Israel and Palestine. Mm-hmm. Ukraine war haven't finished yet. And then you have fights between Taiwan and China. Right. So yeah, 2024 looks like it's going to be a bad year. But I also mentioned that maybe the safe haven market is in Malaysia because of what PMX has done in 2023 to bring in a lot of FDI, to make sure next year there's subsidy rationalization. He wants to increase our salary and things like that. So looks like our economy is pointing towards the positive direction. So last week I mentioned that because of that, maybe Malaysia is a better market to invest in. And even maybe your ringgit can strengthen back to a more powerful level. Mm-hmm. Maybe not at 470 anymore. But what price, I don't know lah. That one, see next year how it how it turns out to be. Yeah, so that's kind of a summary that what we talked about.
Yeah. My personal thought of 2024, right? I mean, not too far because both of us discussed a lot of this kind of stuff in the office, right? Yeah. But this is something that I think, right? When it comes to 2024, I think it is, there is a strong possibility that we are going to see somewhat of a rally. Yeah, I mean, now it's rallying, put it this way. And at this point, this rally, it's crazy because remember the last Black Friday? Yeah, we were talking about it. Yeah, that actually there was a record sale.
Correct.
But retail sale actually dropped, which means people will go in the store and buy. But buy now, pay later actually increased in terms of the volume of transaction, right?
Yeah, so just to give you guys a context, what Peter was mentioning is that, yeah, while on value terms, Black Friday, they recorded record high sales, but the number of items that people bought were actually lesser.
Yep.
So what does that mean? Means things are more expensive? Or?
Yes. People are buying less per basket and more of them are using buy now, pay later. So what does it tell you is that people are actually going more into debt now. Yeah. So that's why there's this question about whether in US, is it the situation has come to a point that cash is starting to run out? So are we starting to feel the end of the effects? And then by next year, we are going to see a very bad economy. Now, then it comes down to this thing, right? But why the market is still doing very well?
Why do you think so?
Okay. This is my thought.
Yeah.
Money doesn't disappear, right?
Correct.
Money has to go somewhere, right?
Right.
The money transfer.
Correct.
So if the money is not with the poor, then where the money is with? It's with the rich. And let's be honest, right? If there's three rich people investing in the stock market, the market can move up more. If three rich person buy, versus three poor fellas sell, the market is going to go up. If three rich people buy versus 3,000 poor people sell, the market is going to go up. Because the value of transaction that this three rich guy can afford to put in is way, 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 way more than 3,000 retail guys. Yep.
Very good point. Now, if you look at US GDP data, it is also recording very handsome number. I think like 5% over. But if you go down to GDP per capita, which means every single American's GDP growth, it's actually very bad.
That's right.
Yeah. So what does it mean? It means all the GDP is very concentrated to a few people.
That's right.
And these few people is jacking up the number.
That's right. Yeah. Even salary increase is actually showing that, you know.
Correct.
So what happened is that the overall salary increase number actually was going up. But what happened is that when you go to the grounds, when you talk to a lot of people, they're actually cutting hours. But like the record keeps telling you that it's going up. So what does it tell you? It means normal people that you get to reach out to, they are actually earning lesser.
Yeah.
But the rich people, the ones that you don't get to just walk out and ask, hey, how's your salary? They are the ones that is breaking in huge number.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what does it tell you is that, in my opinion, why is this weird situation going on is because the rich is getting way more richer, the poor is getting way more poorer. Yeah. And that's the reason why the market is like that. Yeah. That's my personal opinion at this point. Yeah, even when you look at recently, right, the Bitcoin rally, there is different kind of theory that's coming out, right? But most of the people are favoring one story right now, which seems like at this point when the story goes out, it's backed a little bit more by data, is that recently with Bitcoin going up, a lot of the purchases are actually supported by spot ETF purchases.
Spot ETF purchases, okay.
Yes, and you're talking about big purchases. Like one person will buy 30 Bitcoins, 50 Bitcoins, 150 Bitcoins, that kind of number. Yeah, and the way they name those accounts to purchase is Mr. 30, which is to buy 30 Bitcoins, Mr. 150 buy. That sounds exactly what institution does, right?
I don't know.
My point is that okay, I don't want to say institution, but big money.
Yeah.
You're talking about big money. You're not talking about a guy who actually has 0.5 Bitcoin. You're talking about a guy with a lot of money.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because one Bitcoin is already $44,000. Right. To have 10 Bitcoins is $440,000, you know.
Correct. So you think about it, right? Like if you look at the world today, it is actually really getting richer. Rich is getting richer, poor is getting poorer. Same thing with property. Nah. If you think about property, right?
Yeah.
You thought about it, right? Ask a lot of people. A lot of people tell you the property is not affordable at this point. But do you see a lot of your friends buying property? Not really also, you know. But what happened is, you see those few rich people are buying up many properties.
That is true.
That is something that we are seeing as well.
That is true.
Yeah, and that's why the price is going up.
Yeah.
So the question is this actually sustainable?
Yeah, that's why my property investment strategy is always, if you like the house and if you can somewhat fork out the down payment, you should lock down your property price first. Because theoretically speaking, property investment is one of the best way to hedge against inflation. Yeah. Because to build a house, you need cement, you need metal, iron and stuff like that. Right? And all these are commodities. And now we're in an environment where commodity prices are going up, which means to say next year, to build a house, it's going to be more expensive than previous year. So naturally, even the property developers, they don't like to increase the price. They just have to because things are expensive.
Yeah. So let's we finished talking about the outlook of the market and some of the things and so on. I think now it's time to answer the real question, right? How will you be investing in 2024?
Okay. 2024 got one very interesting event, which is the US election. US presidential election. So whether it is going to be Biden or Trump,
Donald Trump.
or whoever, that one let the American decide, right? But whoever wins the election, right, generally speaking, they all have one objective. It's not to have the stock market to be too volatile, then it gives them a very bad image.
Yeah.
So while they fight, I think investors will be the ultimate beneficiary.
Yes.
At least until the run up to the election date lah. Then after that, then they'll say, okay, now actually our economy is very bad. So now I'm elected, right? I have the responsibility to actually make the economy better. Then come up with a lot of all these measures to say, okay, maybe I want to tighten here, tighten there. This one I cut, this one I cut. That's where you see the ugly picture starts to come out. Right? So from that narrative, I think at least for the first half of 2024, there's still room to run for the US market. But having said that, we need to be very careful. Because we know the economic condition is sitting on thin ice. So if one small wrong move only, right, it's going to trigger the whole market to tumble down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, can invest and I think still got leg to run, but yeah.
So what would be your strategy then? Like if you're talking about stock investment, like okay. for 2024? Because you put it this way, right? Let's answer the first question first, right? What will be your major investment in 2024?
Okay, my major investment is still going to be stocks.
It's still going to be stocks. Okay. For me, my major investment is going to be more towards crypto.
Mm.
Yeah, at least for the first half of the year, as far as I'm concerned. Or either in the next 12 months after halving. Yeah.
My strategy is invest in stock, make money in stock, and then use the gain that I make to buy crypto. So it's a different strategy.
Yeah, so I'm actually a little bit more tabalik because I do have a stock portfolio. Roughly, it's about 50,000. I can't remember, somewhere around there. Yeah, 30 plus to 50,000. Then I have my crypto portfolio. Yeah. But my major is actually sitting on crypto, right? And that will be my strategy. Yeah. And Frankie's strategy will be stock. Then after that, crypto at the second.
Correct.
Yeah. So how are you going to approach stock? Since most of the people here actually are more interested in stock. So let's start with the question about stocks, right?
Okay.
How will you be investing or approaching stocks?
Why stock 2024? I think 2024 will be a very interesting year for stocks. Just now I said got leg to run higher, right? So if you buy stocks, you make money, right? But if let's say economy is sitting on thin ice and the ice crack and then everything falls, that's also your opportunity to go into stocks because that's the chance for you to buy cheap stocks. Right? So the strategy would, someone put their hit and run. Hit and run would be my strategy, but it's not a strategy for everyone to adopt because it requires a lot of homework to do and it requires a lot of monitoring on the stock market. So I don't recommend it, but if you think you're confident enough to execute hit and run, that's my strategy. Right? But on top of that, I also built a buffer at the bottom. And this buffer of stocks are my dividend stocks that no matter what happens, I'm very confident that they are able to do okay and they are able to continue to give me that dividend yield to support my entire portfolio. So last week, I also shared these things with you guys. So my dividend cushion are usually Malaysian stocks. So I have a small portion of cushion over there. And then all the rest of my money is into US stocks. But now, given what happened to CakeDeFi today, I've moved all my crypto stocks from the portfolio. So now I need to rebuild that position in the real stock market, right? So I'm transferring the money out for that purpose. And to do that, I think because we are a partner with M Plus Global, so I think most of my money will go into there also. So for you guys, if you open an account with M Plus Global and if you deposit 2,000 ringgit, if you're a new sign up, you get one free Palantir share.
Oh, yeah. You get one free Palantir share, right?
Yeah. And that one free Palantir share is I go and say, hey, you know, I have been an advocate for this stock. I think it is going to help the users to gain some exposure there. I think you should do that. Then say, okay, I give it to your followers. See, something for you guys.
Yeah. So, having said that, when we are talking about investing in the stock market for you, what you're looking at is dividend cushion using Malaysia.
Yeah.
And then after that, growth stock
for US.
Looking at the US, right? Now, and how will you approach in terms of what are the first group of stocks that you're going to be looking at?
Okay, because
what industry, what sector, and you're based on macro more or what?
Yeah. Number one, because the US portfolio would be a growth portfolio, so most of it will be in tech stocks, right? Only tech stocks can give you that super growth. Don't need to talk about all the other industries in the US. Why? Number one, we are not in the US. So I don't know how the sector's DNA is different from Malaysia. Like, for example, maybe we build MRT, then construction stocks will go up. But maybe it's different in the US. Nobody care. So I don't know how they operate specifically. So I don't touch those stocks. I touch growth stocks, tech stocks. Why? Because generally they are global companies. And I can feel the product. So it makes me more comfortable. And it's easier to value those stocks as well.
Right. So that will be your approach, mainly big brand names.
Big
brand names,
yeah. Because I am a little bit scared that things may go wrong next year. Big companies give you that security.
Right. So blue chip of it all. So my personal approach towards stocks for next year also is very similar. Yeah, basically it's just growth stocks. And you know, actually I'm quite boring with the way I invest. Right, by now So why do I actually choose crypto first is because I have a lot more confidence. Mm. And the main theme of next year is much more clearer. Mm. That's number one, which is halving. It's very clear that there's, whether is there going to be a war, is there going to be a presidential election, halving is still going to happen.
Mm.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah. So because of that, there's nothing I need to worry about.
Mm.
And this fits into my lifestyle and my attention for the next few months because things are getting really, really, really busy,
mm.
right? And so because things are getting really, really busy and you are, okay, this also is because of convenience because you are going to be talking more about stocks and I won't be talking more about stocks. So it means that you are going to pay attention to stock and I won't be paying too much attention.
We are a very good compliment because he will talk a lot about crypto now. Oh, yes. Really? Really? Okay, then so, I go.
This is also part of the plan. As a company, we have this, you talk about what, I talk about what.
Mm.
So that we dominate different sectors when it comes to education and entertainment. So what happened is that we play according to where do we want to dominate, right? And naturally, Frankie's one is in the stock market. So he does that for that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I will do the general finance and also the crypto part at this point. So my research, my information flows better in that area at this point. So that's what I'll be looking at.
Yeah.
And because the events that's going to be happening will not get affected by any very fast news. It's just accumulation, right? So I don't need to be bothered. And because it's the same way, I can't guarantee whether the growth companies will give me certain kind of return.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't know whether is there going to be a catalyst next year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, there is already catalyst for green, you know, for stuff like that. We know that. But it's not big catalyst. It's a cyclical catalyst. It just comes.
Mm.
Yeah. Every 2 years, 3 years or so, come on time, lah, this kind of thing, right? So, but this one is like every 4 years, come on time. So I'm going to hop on it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just... flow along with that.
Yeah.
And then until I accumulate a certain amount of target that I'm looking at, then I'm going to start accumulating into other areas. But having said that, it doesn't mean that I don't touch stock. I'm actually still actively... In fact, today I just bought some new stocks.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
what
did Malaysian you stock.
Oh, what did you buy?
Yeah. So I just sold some stocks today.
Okay.
Yeah, we can't mention the names, as you know.
Yeah.
We can't mention the name.
Okay.
Yeah, I just sold some, took some profit. I'm also looking at buying new one.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm already on queue for tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah. And because I'm so lazy, okay, this is what happens. When I'm not lazy, literally when I remember to go and buy, right, it's either lunchtime or either after 4:30.
Huh? Market is always during market close.
Correct. Because what do I do at the moment we are sitting in the office?
Work.
What do I do especially? Meeting all the way, right?
Mm.
Yeah, so I work on time.
Oh, queue, have to queue.
So I will just queue at 4:30 and I'll queue at market tomorrow.
Mm.
Yeah, and because I'm queuing at market, right, I cannot be price sensitive. It needs to be very certain that this stock has a longer story, like 6 months, at least put it this way, right?
Mm.
Only I'll dare to just queue at market.
Yeah, but just to add on to your point there, Bitcoin halving is a definite event that's going to happen next year. But I think the immediate excitement that you're going to get from Bitcoin is in January. Because January is the date that SEC will come up with the verdict to say whether they want to approve the spot BTC ETF or not. If it does, I think it's going to fly. If it doesn't, I think you'll get a chance to buy if you want to buy.
Yeah, correct. I think if it doesn't, it will shake the market a little bit, but it won't be much.
Mm.
I had doubts that it's going to be a strong shake.
Mm.
Yeah. It won't go down to like 12K, that kind of stuff. You just shake a little bit.
But I tell you, once it is approved, many institutional fund managers are going to apply for it. I also want a spot BTF.
Crazy.
BTC ETF.
Yeah, crazy. Mm. I think if that happens, I think we are looking at a very, very significant number.
Maybe. But we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know.
So
we can just hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Nonetheless, that will be the way that I'll be looking at. But next year, another thing that I'm actually thinking about.
Mm.
Next year, I'm actually thinking about buying a house. If can.
Right.
Yeah.
Where about that you want to buy?
I'm thinking of investing in landed property also next year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now, partially one of the reason is also to stay, but it's also an investment for me. But it's not so much an investment. It's more about
Yeah.
It's more about buying it in the location where I know that the price is going to go up.
Mm.
Yeah. And I want to get a landed freehold. Yeah. The very reason is because, just like exactly what you say just now, right? Property prices keep going up because of
inflation.
And building materials become more expensive.
Mm.
Now, and as you think about it, right? If today I'm living in a condo, as condo grow older, what makes your condo a condo? It's because you don't own the land, but you own the structure.
The structure. And right? The structure deteriorates.
We all know that, right? If it passes 100 years, chances are there's a lot of refurbishing work to do.
Mm.
And we haven't had a condominium that passed 100 years yet.
Not yet.
Mm. And we are about near there. We are half a decade in already.
Mm.
Condos started getting popular maybe about 70s.
Mm.
Yeah. We are going to be pretty much near there when our children time.
Mm.
Then we will find out whether is it, you know?
Correct. But there are some case studies for us to follow. Like, I mean, Europe's, there are a lot of condos.
There's 100 over.
Yeah, there's 100 over years old.
Yes.
Hong Kong is a good example.
Yes.
Singapore will be different because Singapore, you can't really own land. So whenever it reaches the age, then the government will just say, okay, sorry, you all need to go already. I need to demolish this building. Then I rebuild it. Singapore is not a good example, but I think UK, Europe, Hong Kong, those are very good case studies for to look at.
Correct.
To see condos when they reach 100 years old, what is the value going to look like?
Mm. Yeah. I think therefore, that's why for me, right, the more important thing is actually the land and the location.
Mm.
Yeah. The land and the location is key. Because as long as the land is something that you own, it doesn't matter whether the structure, because you think about it, right, when you bought your unit the time in Bandar Utama, it was
old house.
It was 1.08, right? Or
1.08.
Yeah.
1.07 or 1.08.
Yeah. And your neighbors who are selling it is probably about 1.15 or either 1.2. You're talking about 100,000 ringgit for the structure of the house only.
Mm.
What matters is actually really the land.
Correct.
Yeah. And so therefore, for me, to a certain extent, next year, if I can, I would like to get a landed property or either an industrial shop house a shop house. It's either or. Like there'll be something. Like really, once I have enough, I will get a shop house. A shop lot. Yeah, a shop lot.
Yeah.
That would be my next thing.
Yeah. If I have enough money, I would love to do that as well. But looking at my finances, I don't think I can do that next year. But I'm also the kind of person who really likes property. So maybe next year I would start to look at REITs a little bit lah.
So
while I don't get the property, but at least I get the yield from the property.
Yeah. So why is it that I'm looking at commercial is because I think ultimately the key thing is I want to have income. Right?
Rental income.
Rental income coming in. Yeah, that'll be the key. So I thought about it that like, okay, if I'm going to collect from 5 or 6 units of residential, maybe collecting one shot from 3 shop houses.
And the good thing about shop houses is you don't need to worry about the renovation because the tenant will do for you.
Correct.
If it is a cafe, they will furnish up like a cafe.
And yes, it is expensive, right? You think about it. And yes, if it's a good shop house, then after it's harder. I mean, who want to sell it to you, blah, 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 stuff like that. That kind of thing, right? But actually, if you think about it, right? Why are we buying shop houses or why are we buying property? 2 reasons. Let's say we talk about growth and we talk about preserving your wealth, right? Which one is more inclined towards? Preservation of wealth or growth?
A bit of both.
A bit of both, right? But which one is more inclined towards to a certain extent? Okay, put it like, is it a long-term game or short-term game?
Long-term game.
Long-term game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if I get the shop house at 4.5 million versus I get a shop house at 4.3 million, if I'm talking about 30 years, does it make a difference?
No difference.
Doesn't make a difference, right?
No.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah. So yes, you may need to pay a bit more for a shop house, but it doesn't make a difference if it's a good location. Yeah, that's my opinion. And no matter how I see, right, I've been talking about property in terms of demand lately. That's something I really look at. Remember I was saying that if you want to get a property today, you really, really want to make sure about location and these days is getting more and more urbanized.
Mm.
So if the area is concentrated, centralized enough, high dense also is okay.
Mm.
Yeah, high dense also is okay because people want to stay there. That's the key, right? Because we are having by 2050 or 2040 or something like that, Malaysia is going to enter in a old aging population, which means that we have lesser younger people.
Mm.
Most of the people are going to be older.
Mm.
With more and more the people who are getting older, and we are talking about older people, by then is me and you, bro. Mm.
You're making me sound very old, but yeah.
But that's true, right?
Correct.
Imagine 2050, we are the old people, no? Me and you are both 50 plus, bro.
Yeah.
We are 50 plus. Mm. Will you suddenly move to a kampung or you're going to stay in KL?
No, I'll stay in KL.
Correct, because we are urbanites.
Correct.
And people from outside are going to move in.
Mm.
So here is only going to be more and more concentrated.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by then, you are probably damn rich. You already own a number of houses and they have to...
Rent from you.
And they have to find places. That's the key thing, ma.
Mm.
Right. Now, but how many commercial centers can there be?
I get where you're going to, but I always have a little bit of reserve on commercial property. Yes, people around me...
No, I mean shop houses.
Yeah.
How many retail shop houses
can there be? No, correct. So I get where you are going to, but I want to put out my point here is that yes, people around me, even my parents are saying, why are you buying so many residential? Go and buy shop house. Do shop house and then you can get all these perks over here. But my observation has been, I'm not sure whether you notice or not, right? Commercial areas. Let's say, for example, now, where is the in-place for commercial? Desa Park City, right? Desa Park City, probably Hatamas area.
Uptown,
like
until
that.
Until today still.
Okay, right.
Somewhere Giza.
Okay. Let's say 2050, when we are 50 years old, right? Then suddenly there's a new development, TRX, right? Or TRX become the next in-place. And then all the pubs, all the happening things all move there. Then suddenly Desa Park become a dead area.
Depends on population.
Well, okay, depends on population, right? Ampang used to be called Little Korea. Today, Ampang is nothing.
Okay.
Why? They all moved to Mount Kiara already.
No, why all the Korean all move out from Ampang?
Why? Because all the offices also move, right?
Mm. And then there's the issue about MM2H.
Mm.
So it was depending on foreign population.
Mm.
It wasn't depending on local population.
Mm.
Now, a better example that you should be looking at, in my opinion, look at Imbi, look at TRX.
Ah, Imbi is dead.
Is Imbi really dead?
It is more dead than last time.
It's just the type of shop change.
Mm.
Imbi, where got dead?
Imbi Plaza.
No, I'm not talking about Imbi Plaza. I'm talking about the Imbi the landed shop. Retail.
Okay.
You know, all the Kai Fan.
Yeah.
All the...
Still, the footfall is not as great as maybe 10, 15 years ago.
But there's still a lot of people.
Still got people.
I'm talking about Imbi Plaza outside those shops, you know.
I know.
But okay, last time it went from like high class to now not so high class. But still, and at the same time, the rental did not really go down significantly.
True. That's true.
That's as far as I'm concerned.
Because they're in the heart of the city.
But you think about it, that's also because your building went from new to old.
Mm.
If you want to talk about 100-year-old building, that would be the nearest to have 100-year-old already.
Mm.
True or not?
Mm.
Yeah. And it's natural art. It started off as the to-go place and after now is the place for coffee shop lah. Because it's so old and ugly.
Mm.
Right? But did rental go down? Is there still huge population hanging around?
Mm.
Yes. But malls. Malls is a different story.
Malls, you must always upkeep the building.
Correct.
Mm.
Malls and shop lot. That's why I'm very specific. It has to be shop lot.
Mm.
It cannot be inside a mall. It has to be outside on the land.
Mm.
Can build coffee shop, guy. That's a key. Because why? The population, if you notice, right? Even in B there, surrounding is a lot of housing area.
Mm.
People won't move.
True.
You will see, you will say TRX open already. Now I move beside TRX, man.
Mm,
no, it's still walking distance or either it's still bus distance. They go there, the most you go hang out there.
Mm.
But your favorite chicken rice shop, still outside.
Mm.
That's my...
Yep.
But I can't say that there's no commercial area that went dead.
Mm.
There is, but most of the time...
Lower chance.
A very low chance. And most of the time, from what I see, is the change of the kind of tenant.
Mm.
Another is... Klana Jaya, behind Giant, remember?
Mm.
It used to be quite okay, right?
Right.
Then nowadays it is
Yeah, now lesser people, even Giant also closed down.
Giant closed down?
Yeah.
But is there lesser people? Not so. Change of crowd. Because I send my kid to near there for classes. So I go there for breakfast. But I have to say, yes, when it comes to the inner roads and all, it may have less people. But there's still a lot of restaurant. So suddenly it changed.
It evolved.
Yeah. And then a lot of banks. So it evolved.
That's the thing. If you want to buy a shop house, right, it's best to be close to a bank.
Correct. So there are a few things that you need
correct. Those are tips.
Correct. Yeah. It has to have connectivity.
Yeah.
Best is near McDonald's also. Then within those few rows, the number of bank in the vicinity tells you a very, 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 very important story. Very, very, very important story. And then 99 Speed Mart also tells you a story. But 99 Speed Mart is not telling you that they're high class. They are telling you that there's
A lot of normal people. Which is good. Which is good. That means there are a lot of residential around.
Correct. So that's the key thing. Now, and if you notice when I say stuff like that, right, it's because these are more matured areas and that's why I'm willing to pay more. That's my opinion. I'm willing to pay more for matured areas than unknown, because I've been thinking about it. Like, am I willing to pay lesser for...
No. You buy a shop house cannot be like that one. You must be sure that got footfall go there, only you buy.
Yeah.
Don't bet.
So I was thinking about that, right? Like, am I willing? Because it's almost half the price. Almost half the price. One is 2 million, one is 4 million.
But your rental also double.
Correct. So no matter how I calculate, right, it's okay. Let's wait a bit. I'm going to go for... Maybe next year, maybe 3-4 years. Next year is if things go very, very well. Things go very, very well. but basically that's one of the things that that is part of my plan. Maybe beyond 2-4, but that will be part of my investment plan.
Nice. Collecting bullets.
Yeah, that's the idea. Yeah, what about yourself? Is there anything else that you think is going to be exciting for you next year to invest in?
No, I think I will just be very alert with a lot of economic data, because I think that those data is going to drive the market crazy. Malaysia side, I just need the policymakers to buck up a little bit and execute what they need to execute. Don't just talk only, but never do. But even Malaysia side, there are a lot of things that are going to change, right? You're talking about luxury taxes. You're talking about progressive wage policy, subsidy rationalization, a lot of things. So, and I don't know how those things are going to pan out. So I will be very careful with those things.
I think at the end of the day, the key is that don't fall in love with your own concept. Like whatever I say right now, right? If there's a huge economic condition that happened, right? I may have to change my opinion also.
True.
Yeah. So you need to be very flexible. You can't say like, and that is the reason why people don't like to give investment advice. Because this, whatever that you believe, it's only valid for this moment based on the parameters that you believe is going to be fixed.
Based on current information.
Yes.
Maybe tomorrow something happened, then everything has to change.
That's right. Yeah, never know. For example, let's say tomorrow, internet is down for the whole world. You may hear my opinion change. But no, sorry, you won't hear because you can't even see me online. But makes sense, right? Yeah, because it doesn't matter anymore. Right? Yeah, or a nuclear missile shoot or whatever. Like, I mean, for example, like you can have 100 Bitcoin, but if you are staying in Malaysia and then some country decided to invade and then they just cut off your whole power supply. It doesn't matter.
So useless,
what coin also know?
I need a knife and a gun.
Yeah, correct. You need a knife and a gun, right? Yeah. That's all that matters suddenly.
Yep.
Yeah. So basically my point is that you want to base on the current data, whatever information you have, and form your opinion from there. Yeah. So for me, just to summarize, it is I'm going to be heavier on crypto because I am biased towards it, because part of it is my job to figure out more of it for my content. And also generally, I have a confidence in halving. Yeah, and that will be my number one. Then number two is going to be stocks as usual. Same philosophy as Frankie is dividend stock here and growth stock there. Yeah. Yeah, that's the general idea that I'm looking at. Yeah, and the possibility of if everything goes well, I would like to invest in a shop house.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what am I thinking about. Yeah, yeah, and Frankie, you want to summarize your thoughts?
Yeah, so my strategy, you guys know already, but for 2024, the extra thing that I am going to do is to do more homework, right? Because things are very jittery right now and I don't know when things are going to go wrong. So I better be very careful with my every single move. But ultimately, what I want to do is to also increase crypto position so I can be like Peter like that. But my strategy has been not my hard-earned money in crypto. It has to be easy money to go into crypto. So how to get those money is to be even more hardworking, to find good stocks to invest and make some money from stocks, and then I can very confidently put into crypto. Because whatever happens to crypto there, if it falls to zero, I'm still okay. Because those are profit money anyway. It doesn't hurt my living. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So just a moment. Actually, my son is here with me. You need to go watch.
You want to go first? You go first. Yeah. Okay. So while Peter is going to the washroom with his son, I think let's open up the floor for Q&A because I believe many of you have questions to ask, you know, or maybe you want to share what is your strategy in 2024, right? You just put in the comment box and then let's have a discussion. In the meantime, I will just go through the question and see what do we have here. Where to buy crypto? Now, there are a few legal exchanges that are approved by Securities Commission in Malaysia. So you can go to any of those approved exchanges. Just to give you some example, one is called Tokenize. One is called Luno. I think there's a new one that recently came up called Hata. Yes, Hata. And one of my friends is actually a founder in that exchange. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, there are about 5 or 6 approved crypto exchanges in Malaysia, right? So any of the 5 or 6, they are safe.
Okay, I want to address this question. Melvin asked, Peter is a gambler. Okay, I don't think I'm a gambler. Yeah, even in fact, when I buy Bitcoin, I'm dollar cost averaging. You can ask Frankie.
Mm.
Yeah, I just dollar cost averaging. I don't even time the market. I just go in. Yeah, but am I high risk? I am.
Mm.
That's what I can tell you.
Very high risk than me.
Yeah, I'm high risk. In my overall portfolio, I am high risk.
Mm.
Yeah, but in the way I handle my portfolio, I'm not as high risk as Frankie then. Yeah, because I don't... Like we talked about the last time, the style of investing.
All right. Brokers love me, man, because I give them a lot of transaction, a lot of brokerage fee.
Yeah. Frankie goes in and out a lot more. I don't go in and out.
Mm.
I just think that if this is good, I just keep buying. Whether is it stock, whether is it crypto. That's how I approach my investment.
Mm.
So, but most of my asset is in the so-called high-risk investment. And that is what he means by I'm a lot more high risk, and I mean by high risk.
Mm.
But again, right? My opinion on, let's say for example, buying stock, is it very high risk for you?
Mm,
no, right? No. But for your mother who doesn't know stock, it's very high risk for her, right? Because, it's just different one.
Yep.
I mean, for someone in the street, buying bond, is it high risk? It's very, very high risk also. But for you, it's like even lower risk than ever.
Correct. Bond is the safest asset.
Yeah. So it comes down to, and you maybe ask an African boy, buying property is very high risk.
Mm.
But you ask an Asian, you ask Ang Mo, buying property is very high risk.
Correct. They will give you the answer.
Yeah. Stock is less high risk. ETF is less high risk. For Chinese, stock is the safe, property is the safest investment you can ever have.
Mm.
Bro, it's just subjective in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's look at some of the questions that we have. Other than that is, what crypto am I buying? Like I say, I am... I'm pretty much a person who accumulates a lot of Bitcoin. That's for me. Yeah.
Okay, Muhammad Alifs asked, M Plus can buy crypto. M Plus cannot buy crypto, but you can buy other asset classes like ETF. You can even apply for overseas IPO. You can buy bonds. You can buy stocks.
Okay. I think this is a very good one, right? Let's answer one stock, one general. I think there's quite a lot of stock questions also.
Okay.
Yeah. What advice can you give for someone who wants to increase their knowledge in financial economy, and where can one update their knowledge?
Oh, watch Fuck Show. No, that's true, because I put a lot of effort to try to bring all these very technical market information and try to tone it down to a level where everybody can understand. So I'm not sure whether I'm doing a good job, but thank you for the 10,000 people who follow the channel. And hopefully those of you who haven't, you can go and check it out. And if you like it, subscribe and then share it with your friends as well. So more people can learn about investment, because when more people are in the investment, right, it makes the market more liquid. When it is more liquid, the market is more fair. More fair in the sense that it's easier to find the correct price. It is not too expensive. It's not too cheap.
Okay. Now, let's talk about that question as well, right? I think aside from FAQ show, which I think is definitely one of the very, very good shows. Yeah, definitely depending on whether do you like his face, lah. But if not, then generally, it's a good show, lah, if you talk about information. Yeah,
you can turn off the monitor and just listen to my voice.
Just like some of y'all don't like my face, right? It's very normal, right? And actually, we don't really care by now. Yeah, but my point is this, right? I think the first thing is continuously listen or continuously read. You will realize that you don't understand, but it's okay. Because as you read, you realize what you don't understand, you're going to Google more. Now, the best way of learning financial knowledge, honestly, is when you find something you don't understand, Google.
Yes.
And then read.
Yes.
And then watch YouTube.
Mm.
Then you will actually figure it out, right? Where can you find updates? Now, for me, there are a few places. CoinDesk Market Daily is one. NLW Breakdown is one. I listen some to The Economist, all those, but Economist is more political, right? Yeah, and then generally, I am on Seeking Alpha. Yeah, and I find that, actually, ever since I've been Seeking Alpha, it's been my main consumption for stock news.
Very good. You can turn on notifications. Right? Wow, I love those notifications.
Yeah. Some more is like, they interpret 10 different interpretations for you.
Correct.
All you need to do is just read those interpretations and then make your the 11 interpretations.
Correct.
Because they're so fast. They're so fast. They're like crazy fast. Oh, wow, so good. Yeah, so Seeking Alpha, I think, is worth. If you're really thinking about investing in US stock, I would suggest you sign up for an account. I believe we have a referral code. Yeah, if you have, please put it up on the chat group there.
Will you do a video tutorial on M+? I think we already have that video, right? I think it's on Mr. Money TV channel, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I believe so.
So maybe you can scroll back the old videos. It should be maybe around 3-4 months ago. Yeah, we already have the video to give you a full walkthrough on how to use the platform.
Do we? Do we? On how to buy as well and everything?
Maybe not how to buy, but I think there's one on how to...
Actually, we should do one for all platforms, actually. Like one for all platform, but we kind of keep it and then like don't put it, maybe you should put it out on the internet as well. Yeah, whatever lah, you know, just do one for each.
Yeah lah, can lah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's more or less the same on most platforms.
Yeah, just sign up for all lah, and then all of them got a lot of good opening promo one.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you get 100, there you get 100. You don't even need to invest already, you got money. they're good all investors. Fighting for market share, man, right?
Correct.
Remember, Weibo was giving 2,500 USD.
5,000.
5,000 USD. My God, you put 10 cents, you get 5,000 USD. Where to find this kind of deal? Huh? Up to lah, okay, yeah, fair lah, 50% of the value.
Still good, what?
Hey, free money, you know.
Yeah.
Then you open M Plus, you get another 100 bucks. You open everyone, Then you just get money just from opening us.
So good, right?
That's not a fantastic deal.
Yeah. So competition is good.
Can you put the Weeb? No, cannot. Yeah. Better not.
Put the M Plus one.
Put the M Plus one, yeah. Yeah, they need to get the licensing first before we can promote for them. Yeah. Now, let's see what other. So excited, I'm thinking about the money. Can you elaborate further on the local stock in 2024? Yep.
Okay, so the narrative for Malaysia 2024, number one, FDI, we have a lot of FDI coming to Malaysia. If you can recall, right, in October when PMX went to Abu Dhabi, he signed a very big, it wasn't an MOU, I think it was a commitment agreement to say that their largest renewable energy company, Mazda, will invest up to $8 billion in Malaysia. Now, I think we made a weekly roundup video on that piece of news back in October. But the point I want to make is that if you look back past few days' news, right, we are starting to see local stock, local listed companies are starting to collaborate with Mazda on various renewable energy projects.
Mm.
Number one, we got Malakoff. Number two, we have what is the solar side park, right? And we also have Cheetah Global, where the largest shareholder is actually our current Agung. So all these three companies, they are signing agreement to collaborate with Mazda already. And we are talking about big, big renewable projects in Malaysia. So those are the effects that we are going to see in 2024.
Yeah.
Now, there are so many deals that our Prime Minister has already brought back in 2023. So what we want to do is go back to those news, see what he has signed in the past, what is the value of those agreement, tie it back to Malaysian stock and see which are the potential ones that could benefit from those FDIs. Yeah.
Actually, I think next year, what's even more exciting for stock is business.
Mm.
I really think so.
Correct. Because government is giving so many things for businesses.
Correct. I really think, I mean, I'm not trying to say, I mean, our channel is about personal finance, right? And all of you watching are probably like thinking about investing a loan. But the truth is, right, also irrelevant to this question that someone asked here, how come y'all can invest so much?
Mm.
Number one, we have been accumulating over the years. Number two is we know how to make money. I mean that's the truth. I'll be very honest with you. If you don't know how to make money, you can't invest. Because investment is use money, make money. You got no money, how are you going to make money?
Correct.
So the first key comes down to, can you make money? Yeah. Mm. And there's a few ways of making money, employment and so on. But don't worry, right? Whether you are an employee or whether you are an entrepreneur yourself, as long as you understand how business works, you can give value to your bosses or either to your clients, you get to make money. That's key. It's not just sit down there, wait for salary to come, that kind. That's what I mean.
Mm.
And next year is a year where there's a lot of opportunity. So much opportunity that really, put it this way, actually the stock market is probably almost the last beneficiary of things on. Yeah. I mean, last as in like, I mean, stock price is another story, but I mean like, you get what I mean, right? Like big companies get the contract, but as it trickles down...
Correct, because companies only announce their earnings 2 months after they close their account. So it's very long later only you know what is going on.
Right, yeah.
Unless you have insider information. Yes.
And you must remember, you know, if today I own a company, I'm a company owner, right? I'm not going to give out everything in dividend. Put it this way. Yeah. One of the main reasons that they are earning so much is because they have salary.
Mm.
And yes, they own a large chunk of the shares. Because they are the early guys there, but bonuses. Mm. Yeah. So think about it, right? I think it would be best if everyone just opened their eyes a bit more and see what are some opportunities that you can find to make money, not just by investing your money into the stock market, but also to look at business and understand which company to jump to, which company to work in, which kind of company to start, what kind of business to get. That could be even much more better money making than anything else for the next 2-3 years. Yeah. So what's the minimum to invest on property for Adrian? It can be as low as 30K.
30K means you're buying a 300,000 household. Yeah.
No, if you do no money down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mark it up.
Correct.
You basically are just paying for legal fees only. You can own a 500,000 property. But it's not exactly ethical, I would say. Okay, is Bursa going sideways? When do you think the market will move up? I don't think we got an answer. How's China property market affecting Malaysia?
China property market will affect the Chinese first. Because Asian like to buy properties, right? And you know, companies like Country Garden, like Evergrande, they are all in deep shit right now. And when they're in deep shit, means the Chinese people will be in deep shit. And when they're in deep shit, they're not going to spend, right? Maybe they even lose their jobs, right? And things like that. And then, because Malaysia is a very close trading partner to China, when they are not doing well, of course, we also cannot benefit from them. So that will affect our economy in that sense. So it is not a direct implication, but it will for sure, we will feel it in Malaysia as well. Number one, now, Malaysia is very excited because Chinese tourists are coming to Malaysia, because no need visa already, right? But let's say, for example, if everybody's house is losing money and they and at the same time, they still need to pay installment to the bank. Do you think they will still want to come to Malaysia? No. Right? And if they don't come to Malaysia, how are we going to make money? Cannot.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's one example.
Mm. Okay. Now, let's move on to the next one. Is there anyone that you're following on Seeking Alpha?
No, I don't follow people, but I read good articles.
Right. So I actually follow stocks. Then I read whatever relevant to the stock.
Correct. So I follow stock. Yeah. I don't follow the author. That's the point.
Or either a sector. Then I read whatever I can about that sector.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't really care who tell me. I just want to read everything.
Mm.
And then after that, I figure it out from there.
Mm.
Yeah. In fact, I have some good crypto articles also and sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite not bad one.
Yep.
They think like investment banker too. Yeah. Quite sound.
Mm.
And I think it's good because you must understand it's getting into an institutional play.
Mm.
Yeah. Now, let's move on to the next one. Do you want to share your allocation between crypto, dividend stock, Malaysia stock and US stock? Yeah. Percentage.
Crypto probably one-third. US stocks probably half. So the remaining will be my dividend stock 20.
Oh, okay. I'm
around there.
With the recent price increase, crypto has became my maybe 70-80%.
Oh.
And the other US and Malaysia is equally half. Equally half.
Yeah. But when we talk about investment as a whole, then property becomes the largest.
Yeah.
Because we have
investment and whole property is still correct, the largest. Correct.
Because one house already won over a million.
Yeah. Not including EPF, not including other stuff.
Correct.
Huh? Mm. Now, what else? Aside from stocks and crypto, what other asset classes that have good return over a long period to build? Forex, gold, or Rolex? aside from stock and crypto, what other asset classes? Now, let's go away from the traditional stuff, right? What are some alternatives that you think you will consider?
Okay, you gave three examples over here, Forex, gold, and Rolex. Out of the three, I only have one, which is gold. I don't have Rolex simply because I don't appreciate why you need to buy a 50,000 watch. Forex, number one, it is too cheeky already, right? And number two, it is not legal to trade Forex in Malaysia, so I don't touch it. Gold is accumulation since 2019. Now, in the past, right, according to textbook, every 10 years, you will complete one economic cycle.
Mm.
So by 20, because the last financial crisis was 2008, ma, you know, Lehman Brothers collapse, right? So 10-year cycle will be 2018-2019. So I thought a crisis was coming. So I buy gold. But gold didn't really go up until recently they hit record high again. Mm. So maybe that cycle has been dragged until today. And then people start to think, hey, maybe market is really not doing very well. Better put some money in gold, safe haven asset.
Mm.
Maybe that's the reason why gold is going up. But nonetheless, my gold position was built during that time.
I see. Mm. Okay. Now, for me, I think when it comes to alternate investment, if you want something that's safe, definitely gold is probably the most...
traditional.
Traditional. Mm. Huh? Forex. For me, Forex is not... great place. I think Forex is a great place to trade.
Mm.
Yeah. So if your definition of building wealth is to trade, it probably has one of the biggest volatility for you to trade. Lah.
Mm.
Yeah. But there's a lot of leverage involved, blah, 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 blah. And if you are, basically, if you are ultra high net worth, private bankers will trade it for you regularly. Yeah. Just to help you make 10K every day or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a whole different kind of thing, right?
Yep.
Now, Rolex, is it good? My opinion is, it is almost the same as collecting Pokemon cards. Hey, Pokemon card, damn expensive, you know?
Correct.
Yeah. So, as long as got people appreciate, then you can find. You can find people buy it. Yeah, that will be the... thing there. But at the end of the day, if you look at all this, my question also is that why want a I do have each except Forex. I do have both of them, right?
Mm.
But Do I really think that it is something that I'm going to use it to store my wealth? Like, oh, like that? Not really. It's more of a like, okay lah.
A bit of emotion.
Yeah, and at the same time, it's kind of like, I already got so much. I don't mind setting aside this for it.
Right.
If it happens, it happens. It doesn't happen, I feel happy looking at it.
Mm.
Yeah, so, okay. Like, no problem. Like that. Like that.
Okay, like Rolex you can pass down to next generation.
Something like that. Right? Like for me, yeah, because I don't buy car, so, like, okay. Like that. Yeah. Now,
you want to
Alibaba.
Go, it's already 9.
Oh, okay, 909. Yeah. Is there any one last question that you want to answer?
Maybe I take the last one, right? How to analyze what ETF to buy on M+. Number one, ETF is one of the simplest way to gain exposure into the stock market because you don't need to analyze anything. What ETF does is that it tracks the index. So let's say, for example, if tonight the S&P 500 is going to go up by 10%, you can be 99.99999% sure that the ETF is also going to go up by the same quantum, right? So that's the thing about ETF. And if S&P go down 10%, then the ETF will also go down by 10%. So there's nothing much for you to analyze. You just follow the direction. So that's the thing. So when you say you buy into an oil and gas ETF, then what you track is actually the oil price. If you buy a gold ETF, then the asset that it tracks is actually the gold price. So that's how ETF works.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, that's all about it. I think there's one question here about NVIDIA share with the consensus on crypto. Honestly, I don't dare to give any opinion on it.
Mm.
Yeah, but for me also, I'm not too... I think the bigger factor for... If your question is towards NVIDIA as a stock, or is it towards crypto as a thing, or is it towards miner, I'm also not very sure.
Mm.
But my personal opinion for NVIDIA, I don't think the crypto mining is a number one important thing.
Yeah,
for I them think still AI. The biggest drive is AI.
Correct.
Because of the need for AI chip is much more what?
Mm.
So I think it's going to continue driving the price. It's a new age. Now AI is the new internet, literally, right? So, like that. So, I don't know how to answer that question. Like, what's your thought on NVIDIA share with the... I don't think it's going to affect that much. If end of the day, crypto companies will end up buying it more with the AI and stuff like that, yeah, but I don't think there's a meaning. I think it's still AI. Mm. My number one drive is still... The story is still AI.
Mm.
Put it this way, right? If AI die tomorrow, right? I don't think this... thing matters at all, eh? All
right. Even Bitcoin, 100,000 also nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, lah, it will, lah, but the exponential growth that you're looking at right now is because of AI. Mm. And yes, crypto has something to do with it, but it's not the everything. It's just a small picture of that. Mm. So I don't really think it's too important of a question. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, the more important question maybe is towards... miners lah, I don't know. But that, I'm not a miner, so I don't really read up too much about it yet. Mm. Yeah, but basically as a stock, from what I follow, from what I've read as well, it is not too significant. Mm. It's not too significant. Yes, there's the news that fries up and say, but news being news, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, news is. Yeah, news is news. Yeah, because
sensational.
Yeah, because all this while also, memang they have been using NVIDIA cards, what?
Correct.
Like, so, what's...
And you don't need to change like every year or something. You just buy one time, put it there.
Yeah,
right?
Not gonna...
But AI is different. AI, you need to keep upgrading. You need to, do a lot of things, right? So the excitement is more towards that area.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, I think one last question someone asked about unit trust, then let's call it an end.
Okay,
Yeah, do you think unit trust is a good investment option?
Unit trust is a good investment option if you have really, really, really no time to look at your stocks and other investment. Then you leave the job to fund managers to do it for you.
Yeah.
But the bad side is because got people manage for you, so you need to pay a lot of fee. So if let's say, for example, the stock market did 10% and then after cutting off all the fee, maybe you are left with 6%. Yeah. So those are the things that you
generally
need to consider.
Generally, your fee is not that much. It's about 1.something%, but 1. The sales 7. Charge... can be about like 5%, right?
Mm.
Yeah, but I think the key thing is that, which he's not saying, which I think that actually he's really thinking is, unit trust is a good investment if the fund manager is good, right?
Yeah. yesterday I was in.
I know that's your real thought. You just don't want to say it.
Yesterday I was in a investment industry event. It was a party lah. So one of my friend, he's a fund manager. He's saying that his fund, he's charging his client 3%. Oh. Then the client said, "Why is it so expensive?" His answer is, "You want good funds, right? 3%." You want good funds? 3%.
But he delivered lah.
Yeah, he delivered.
Okay, I think that's all about it. Thank you very much, everyone, for joining us tonight. I hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. If you have missed tonight's episode as well and you would like to re-listen to it again or share it with your friends, just share out our show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and whatever other platform. Basically, it's called The Real Money Show by Mr. Money TV. So that's all about it. Good night. See you. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.